You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Turning the Tide from Cars to Active Transport report was released yesterday. The University of Otago report on active transport says urgent steps must be taken to encourage New Zealanders to walk, cycle or take public transport, with our use of cars harming both our health and our environment. On the Tuesday Wire, 95BFM reporter Oscar Perez talked to Associate Professor Caroline Miller about what the report meant in a city planning context. However, later in the day he also spoke to Associate Professor Melody Smith more extensively about the health side of the report. He started by asking what Professor Smith saw the report as meaning.
I think it's a really important report. It's our first call to action of this type for the country, which, you know, we really need. We've got to change the way we think about transport. You know, our current model of a car-centric culture is not sustainable, and it's, as you said, it's detrimental to human and environmental health. I think the things that were really great about the report were the fact that there wasn't sort of one solution presented. It's a very comprehensive understanding of the multiple factors that need to be taken and the multiple changes that need to occur if we're actually going to create a shift. We really love our cars. We've designed our streets and our neighbourhood environments to prioritise cars over humans. And so, you know, it's not going to be an overnight shift, and we all play a role and have a responsibility to make sure that change actually does occur.
Nationally, the only mode of transport that has increased its proportionate share between 1988 and 2014 was cars, which you brought up before. What do you see as spurring our nation's ongoing love for the car, and what effect does our affinity for the car have on our health and our behaviour?
Oh, well, I haven't done a lot of research in terms of the social relationship with cars, but I certainly do know about the environment, and how we have constructed our environment is conducive to car use. You know, it's very hard. You know, I do a lot of work with children and environments and getting around to school and other places, and it's very hard for young people or people who are trying to get around in a wheelchair to actually get around actively, whereas the environments that we provide for people really says to them, it tells them, get in your car, it's the easiest way to get around. And, you know, we all know we have challenges with our public transport system in terms of being able to get from A to B easily, and positive shifts are occurring in that area. But I think we're all living in this environment that actually makes car travel the easiest mode of travel. And so I think sometimes there is a culture of car use, of course, but I think it's, my take on it is, it's a downstream impact of the environment that we've generated. Yes, and then in answer to your second question around, you know, the detrimental impact, I mean, the most obvious one is that comes to people first off is the physical risk. I mean, you've just spoken about the increase in car use, but alongside that we've had, I think, nearly a 70% increase in deaths and serious injuries in the last 5 or so years. We had our deadliest year on our roads since 2009 last year. But then there's all the other downstream impacts as well. We have, as soon as you're in a car, you're not walking or cycling or being active, and so your risk of being insufficiently active for health goes up. We have, I think it's around about our last stats showed that, depending on the survey, between 70 and 40% of our young people are considered sufficiently active for health. So we have, you know, a good 60% of our young people who aren't getting enough physical activity, and obviously active transport is an obvious solution to be able to increase that. And there's all the issues with air pollution, community severance and so on as well. So, you know, the negative impacts are just so wide-reaching and quite overwhelming, really.
And so in the report, the authors call upon national and local governments to set targets for the kind of proportion of trips made on foot by bicycle and public transport. Do you think that the targets that are brought up in the report are either achievable or aspirational?
I think it could be debated that actually the recommendations aren't going to be sufficient to generate the changes that we want to see. However, I actually think they're ambitious personally, just knowing how long it takes for behaviour change to occur and also for environmental change to occur. So I think they are both at the same time ambitious and insufficient. But I think I would like to think that they are closer to realistic than not realistic, because we need to see these changes occur.
What do you think would be important steps in getting these changes to occur?
From the research that we do, one of the most immediate things that needs to change is the way that we design and build our streets. As mentioned, you know, we've built for the car, and we know that the way that our neighbourhood environments are built are huge barriers to people being able to get out and participate in their community. So there's been a whole lot of work done recently in Auckland around safer speeds. And, you know, ironically, there's been a bit of an uproar around the suggestion of reducing our local neighbourhood streets down to 30 kilometres per hour. And, you know, when you look at the data around the dangers of being hit at 60 kilometres per hour, for example, you've got, a 95% chance of death compared to 30 kilometres an hour, where that drops right down to 10%. So, you know, we're looking at an urgent need to change our street environments in particular would be my first very strong recommendation.
Our cities especially are certainly set up for a certain type of behaviour and attitude to carry on. We've got one kind of final question, and that's the average time that New Zealanders walk as a kind of mode of transport has dropped from 10 minutes to 8 minutes per day. For the listeners, this kind of may seem like quite a small change, with it only being 2 minutes. But what effect does this kind of 2-minute difference have?
Proportionately, we have a highly inactive population overall, so any shift is important. And I think it's also really important to recognise that statistics like that are presented at the group level. So you'll see variation across that. You know, that doesn't mean that every individual will have changed by 2 minutes a day. For some people, there might be an increase of 10 minutes, and that's extremely meaningful, particularly for those people who are at the lower spectrum of activity. So, you know, when you think about increasing walking in particular, it's an activity that's accessible to many and is one of the less sort of threatening forms of activity. So I would say that 2 minutes overall at the group level is meaningful in terms of a population shift in health and wellbeing, but also it's important to recognise that for many people there will be greater increases, and that's a really important thing, particularly for those people who might have been insufficiently active at the beginning or are just starting out on their physical activity journey.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.